Welcome to the Fleet Safety Geeks podcast, where we discuss the latest industry trends, best practices, and strategies for keeping your fleet and its drivers safe on the road. Whether you're a fleet manager, safety professional, or a driver yourself, our goal is to provide valuable insights and actionable tips to help you prevent accidents, protect lives, and promote a culture of safety within your organization. From vehicle maintenance and driver training to regulations and technology, we cover it all. Tune in every week as we explore the challenges and opportunities of fleet safety in today's fast-paced, ever-changing world. Hey, Phil, what are you doing over there?
Man, where have you been, Bob? I haven't seen you in ages.
I know. It seems like we have not been doing this. It's like we're busy or something.
Geez, you know, that whole work thing just gets in the way.
You know? I know. I think you're... keep talking about maybe one day you're going to retire. Maybe I'll just quit my job and we can just do this all day long.
I think we should. Joe Rogan, look out. I don't think we need him. He's going to feel threatened by us.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I don't think he has anything to worry about. But we're not at that level. So
certainly not.
That's fine, too. I don't want to be at his level. So anyway, welcome back. It's great to see you because we can see each other. This is going to be an audio only podcast, so that's not going to make sense to anybody else. But you're still doing the driver training at Davie, right?
I sure am. It's approaching my 1 year anniversary at Davie. April 8th will be 1 year. We're recording this one on April 5th. So that was a quick year. My goodness.
I know that they got you running all over the country, getting all these different drivers.
From Maine down to the Mexican border in Texas. I mean, I've been everywhere, man. It's been crazy, but it's been good, man.
You mentioned some success with that though, too, right?
Yeah, we're doing really well. Our crash rate's down about 50%. So
that's amazing.
I'm very, very, very happy with that. And I like to think that the training has something to do with it. I mean, there are a lot of things that go into that, and a lot of people that work hard to try and keep our drivers safe. But I've been saying it for decades, Bob. You know, the classroom behind the wheel stuff, it works. It works, man. You can't just throw something at a driver. You have to actually change your mind. You have to change your attitude towards their driving. And right. I think we've had some good success with achieving that.
Yep. No, I absolutely agree. That's how we met, because I used your service at Steris, and I always did the classroom behind the wheel, and we put in a lot of other stuff too, but that's developing the safety culture. If you bring people in and that's what they get as soon as they start, and then you continue to have a comprehensive safety program, they tend to just sort of keep with it. In fact, I think we're going to be talking about, developing the key elements of developing a driver training program at NAFA, right?
Yes, we're doing a joint session at NAFA this year on that very topic. So, you just hit it right on the head. I mean, it's culture. Does your organization have a driver safety culture? You might have a safety culture, but do you address the place where most employees are injured, which is behind the wheel? Are you addressing that side of safety? I'm glad to see that Davie Resource Group is doing that. But a lot of organizations don't. Culture is key.
Well, I hope we have a lot of people attend the session and a lot of people adapt that, because it's obviously successful. But that's not what we're going to talk about on this podcast. This is April, as you said. You're approaching your 1 year. This is April 5th when we're recording this. And this is Distracted Driving Month. The whole month of April is Distracted Driving Month. So we should probably talk about distracted driving.
Yep. You've heard me beat this drum for years, man. It's key to driver safety is paying attention, staying focused on the driving task. And that's difficult for drivers, especially with all the distractions that we have going on in our vehicles, interior, exterior distractions, and how do you address that? How do you get a driver to put their darn phone down? I'm going to beat that up real good. But there are a lot of other distractions as well that need to be addressed and corrected. But Bob, before we start, I mean, there's been some changes also. I mean, the biggest thing I wanted to bring up, and this might surprise you, is that since we've had our last podcast, that the Eagles won the Super Bowl. Okay, I'm holding it for people who can't see this. I'm holding up my little Eagles, Beanie Baby thing here. So it's a go Birds. They won the Super Bowl. Oh, Bob, I'm so
yeah.
I'm so
no, that's awesome. you know, last year they
just
had
lost
you know,
people the like New York and Dallas. And all, you know?
yeah, they don't care. Ah, Eagles. But the year before, I mean, they started like 8-0. I mean, I was totally on board. I was watching them. They were the best team in football. And then they just lost like the rest of their games. And I was like, what happened there? Yep. So last year was good. That was great.
That was fun. Sorry about the Browns, buddy.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I'm not a Browns fan. I'm happy they're in football, but and I happen to live in Cleveland, but I'm a Broncos fan. So
yeah, I knew that, yeah.
Yeah, I got my Super Bowls. I really don't care, but the Browns should be in the NFL. But they're moving out of downtown, and I don't like that. That's going to, like, Brook Park. Like,
and it's such a shame because that's such a cool area, the stadium's area down around.
Oh, it's awesome. It's, yeah.
It's a really cool area of the town. I mean, it really is. It's a shame.
Yeah. I was sad. A lot of potential had they kept it there because they're redoing the whole waterfront there. They're putting all sorts of really cool stuff in. That would fit in really nice. But the owners want to have a year-round facility, and you can't have concerts in the middle of winter, so they want, like, an enclosed arena. So
come on, you can't have concerts in an open arena in Cleveland during in January. Come on, it'd be fine. It'll be plenty warm.
It's fine. Yeah, just dress up. It's okay. Yeah. So whatever. I don't see why they couldn't put a dome stadium on the waterfront.
Why not?
People are using the excuse that well, there's an airport there, and that would have an issue. I don't know what that's stupid. They should have just worked it in. But either way, congratulations on the Eagles. That was pretty awesome.
You got to
and go Phillies. I hope they have a good year.
I'm pretty happy about them too, so Guardians, they have a good team. We'll see what happens with them.
Well, I'm a Tigers fan. Of all the teams in Cleveland,
the Detroit area, right? I mean, that's
where... Yeah, I'm originally from Toledo, and Detroit was my closest city for all the sports teams. But I started following the Broncos when I lived out west, like in 84. I was younger and just started watching them with my stepdad. Yeah. So that's how I became a Broncos fan. But everything in Toledo, we went to Detroit for everything. So I'm Red Wings. I was Pistons. I'll explain that in a minute. And Tigers, right? So, I mean, those are the teams that I went and saw all the time because it was only 45 minutes away. The thing is about NBA, I just don't like the NBA because the whole season, it's like they don't play.
No.
And then when they make the playoffs, that's when it starts getting a little more exciting. So
how about
just boring to me.
How about some defense? Am I sounding old?
Yeah. I don't know, maybe I am too, but
back to the Bones of Malone, Dr. J days, Bobby Jones and Maurice Cheeks. I mean, those guys, they played and they passed the ball. They didn't just run down the court and slam it and then run down the other side and slam it.
But I decided since I'm in Cleveland, when I moved to Cleveland, LeBron came back and I said, fine, I'll be a Cavaliers fan. That's my only Cleveland team that I will switch from my NBA team. And they're having a good year this year. They're actually fun to watch.
They really are. So, I'm rooting for them. Cool. Cleveland needs a win.
Yeah.
I love Cleveland. They need a win. Yeah.
Well, that the NFL team now has the third most championships because they included all the AFL championships.
Okay.
So, hey, we got that going for
you.
They got that going for you somewhere,
man. You grab onto something.
If that's how you got to get your championships, fine. But anyway, we both digress. Let's get into distracted driving. So I just want to start out by saying that, we've talked about this for years, and we talk about fatalities on our roads, and probably the biggest cause of those fatalities is some sort of distraction. And obviously, everybody knows that we talk a lot about cell phone usage, which is probably the main reason that people are distracted.
Right.
But, we've put out the stats. It was like almost 43,000 people dying on roads. It was, I think the last time that they just released, statistics, it's still close to about 42,000, 41,900 or something like that. Yeah. So we're not making an impact yet. You know, we've a lot of vehicles have ADAS, you know, all these states are putting in hands-free laws, which is supposed to be saving the world. And yet we're still at the same number of fatalities, you know, pretty much flat year over year. So something still needs to be done here, right?
Yeah, I think it comes down to education. You know how I'm a proponent of that, and it obviously is, it works. I've seen it myself, you know, and I'm not just saying that because I'm you know, a person who provides that, but I'm just saying it. You know, it's between the ears, Bob.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, how do you approach your driving? And you mentioned ADAS, and you know, I love ADAS. I love the advanced driver assistance systems, lane warning detection, and lane departure detection, and front forward brake assist, and rear reverse assist, and all that. That's great. But and people who've watched this podcast or listened to this podcast previously will recall me saying this: are those systems making drivers lazy and dumb? And that's, you see, if we're not doing a good enough job. Again, I see the advertisements where people are letting go of the wheel as they're listening to We Will Rock You. Now, I think it's irresponsible. We have to get to a full level 5 autonomy, I think, before we can, you know, legitimately and safely let go of the wheel. There's the thing that I worry about the most with those promotions are will that create in a person's mind that, well, okay, I can just let go of the wheel and I can do other stuff.
Of course it will.
Get on my phone. Yeah. I can eat my Big Mac. I can do this. I can do that. Rather than paying attention to the task of driving. He said, well, the vehicle will take care of it. Will it? We're not there yet. You know, I wish we were. We're over 40,000 people a year aren't dying, but we're not close yet.
Right.
It'll be a while. But I don't think we're doing a very good job of informing our drivers of their responsibilities to not be overly dependent on those systems.
Yeah. I absolutely agree. Just as an example, I love talking about different examples that, you know, real life situations, but you know, this one didn't cause a crash or a fatality or anything, but I was actually watching someone in the parking lot of the grocery store I go to doing the right thing, backing into a spot. I was really happy about that. But it took the driver 4 times.
Right.
Because they were driving, looking at their dash
rather than the mirror.
At the video screen. I'm like, you have 2 mirrors.
Right.
Just and look over your shoulder. Your neck turns.
Look in your mirror.
Can you look behind you?
The camera's fine. But don't be solely dependent on that.
Oh, it was only
on that.
Only the camera.
I see it all the time. I see it all the time. So, Bob, there was a crash in your area not too long ago, and I was sent a link to the crash where a guy smashed head-on into another driver right in the area where you live, near, just outside of Cleveland, because he was bending down to pick up the donut he dropped.
Yep. I was actually just about to bring that up myself. Not all distractions are the phone. One of the best distractions is young kids in the car, right? They're being like all crazy and all of that, and then you have to deal with that. But another one is eating. You just said, you know, they're using ADAS to rely on that to, and then they can eat in the car. Yeah, this guy's dropped his donut and he bent to pick it up. I mean, obviously the road, the vehicle's still going down the road. And it's a 3-car crash. Just insane. Horrible.
I saw the wreckage, and I'm surprised there were no fatalities in that one, though, right? Just some severe injuries. Am I correct?
Yeah, one of the cars was just destroyed. It was
ripped up.
I didn't even know it was a car.
I could see the draw. You know, they use the jaws to get the driver extricated. But, man, I mean, it is just – I saw all airbags had deployed. Okay, I'll tell you what, those airbag systems saved that driver's life.
I'm sure.
Damage on that vehicle, you know, it was just – how horrible. Absolutely horrible. And just picking up a stinking donut.
I know.
Come on.
Yeah. And that's, you know, I don't want to laugh because somebody could have died there. This is exactly what we have problems with is all these distractions. Obviously, I will always talk about cell phones because even the hands-free isn't making a difference.
Nope.
I'm happy that, you know, there are people out there fighting to make sure people aren't holding their phone or, you know, having conversations while holding their phone or texting while driving or, you know, interacting with their phone. Listen, I fully support that, but still having that conversation hands-free through Bluetooth, if you're the only one in the car is very, very distracting.
It's a step in the right direction. The hand, yep. The hands-free laws are a step in the right direction. But then my concern again with that is it creating a false sense of security. Drivers say, well, I can just talk on the phone all I want as long as I'm using hands-free. It's not against the law. Mm-hmm. Well, studies have shown that it's not the holding of the phone that's the issue. It's the conversation because your mind is elsewhere. I profess that you have to scan 360, know your escape space and things like that. Well, if you're in an involved phone conversation, you're not going to be doing any of that. And people will, compare that to, say, having a conversation with somebody in the vehicle. Well, if you want to break it down in more simple terms, if somebody is distracting you in the vehicle, you need to take care of that as well. But, at least if you're having that conversation with somebody else in the vehicle with you, that's another set of eyes. If something starts to happen, it's like, hey, look out. Where if you're on the phone, you're just going to be so focused on that call that you're going to have to listen to what they're saying and then formulate answers to what they might be asking. And that is a distraction. It's not the holding of the phone. It's the conversation.
Absolutely.
The hands-free stuff does take care of, the stupid texting, tweeting, or it's not tweeting, Xing, or whatever the hell they call it now. I've seen videos where moms are driving down the road, taking a video of themselves while they're driving with the kids in the back seat. They should be arrested for child abuse or child endangerment. Sure. I mean, that's absolute, Bob, one word for that, bullshit. I mean, that's not safe. And people think
now I'm going to have to put some sort of foul language alert.
I know. I should. We should have some kind of a bloop, sound.
No, yeah.
Phil's good.
I need that dump button.
Bob Angry Phil's coming back. But it's just, how can people, can I show you something? I'm going to do some math here. Okay. I'm going to get into my crash reconstruction geekness here.
Nice.
So I'm going to show you something here. We're just going to go 35 miles per hour. Okay. So just at 35, we're talking surface street stuff. Okay. So I'm going to convert 35 to feet per second. So I can multiply that by 1.467. That equals 51.345 feet.
That's how fast you travel at 35
miles per hour. You're traveling 51.345 feet per second. Okay. Yep. Now multiply that by 0.25 for a quarter of a second. Okay. That equals 12.83 feet. Bob, that's 13 feet. You know how long it takes to blink your eye? Quarter of a second.
Quarter of a second.
So this is literally in the blink of an eye stuff here. So in the blink of an eye, at just 35 miles per hour, you will travel 13 feet. Bob, a 13 foot miss in a crash? That's a good miss. You miss by an entry, you miss by a mile. Everybody goes home. But how much time do people give away to their distractions, their phones, they're eating, they're looking down, or just getting it can just be daydreaming. Now I ask people all the time, have you ever arrived at a destination, you don't know how you got there? That's one of the biggest distractions that we face behind the wheel. So how do you combat that? Well, start talking about what you're seeing as you're driving.
Exactly. I want to get to that in a second, but do that same exercise at 65 miles an hour, which is most speed limits on our roads, except for states that have 70 and 80.
65. Okay. Times 1.467 equals 95.35 feet.
So 95 feet a second at 65 miles an hour. And that quarter of a second was 13 feet at 35 miles an hour.
That's 23.83. That's 24 feet. At highway speed, 65, I'm not talking 70, or if you go up to Michigan, like some of those 75 mile per hour zones, right? Mm-hmm. At 65, that's 24 feet in the blink of an eye.
Exactly. So,
people give away to looking down and not paying attention. I mean, this is just,
it's anything stupid. Can happen in a moment's notice, and especially at the high speeds, you need that space to avoid those crashes. And you were just going to bring up, being able to, see and acknowledge what's around you while you're driving.
Right.
Because I was at a company before and they allowed Bluetooth hands-free calls. And I said, that's not very safe. And they were like, but it's hands-free. And everybody is thinking that they're totally safe now. Right. Just as you said,
lost sense.
And I said, scary. Listen, the next time that you are on a phone call, hands-free, and your vehicle's going down the road and you're looking out the windshield and you think you're safe, ask yourself, what color is the car in your blind spot?
Right.
What's the color of the car or the make and model of the vehicle in your rearview mirror?
Right.
What was the exit number that you just passed?
Right.
And I bet you can't do it. And they just stared at me for a second, yep, raised an eyebrow and said, I didn't think of it that way.
And if you're on a surface road, what's your speed limit? Because those change out there.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, it's silly, but it's again. So every Monday morning at 10 o'clock, I have a call with the safety team that I report into, right? That I'm a part of. And that's, so I'm most of the time I'm driving out to some location to do some training somewhere. I plan it, put it in my schedule. I know it's going to be an hour long call, and I'll find a place. I'll pull into a truck stop. I'll pull into a rest area. I'll pull wherever, but I make sure that I am safely and legally parked before I get on that call. Now I could get on that call and I could be driving and be on that call.
You would not be violating policy or law.
Be violating policy or law. But
would you
think
be safe?
I'd be safe?
No. No, not at all.
No, I wouldn't be.
Yeah. Yeah. And we need to do that. Even if this podcast gets through to anybody and your company allows hands-free calls and you agree that this is not safe, feel free to bring it up and say, hey, if you're on the phone, go ahead and just hang up. I do it all the time. Right. I say, oh, I can tell you're driving. Why don't you hang up and then call me back when it's safe for you to talk?
Anybody ever calls me and I hear the road noise, I say, you're going to have to call me back when you're not driving. Please call me back when you're not driving. I'm just saying, I can't violate my own policies,
right.
My internal policies.
Yep.
I'm just not going to do it.
Yeah, I say the exact same thing because I have a lot of very strict telematics rules out there, right? And I call excessive speed 75 miles an hour. So all of my drivers are like, everybody out there is going faster. I'll be impeding the flow of traffic. I'll be unsafe. I'll get run over. And I'm like, no, you won't. That's bullshit.
Yeah.
You know, you stay in the right lanes. You know, you don't. I know. Yeah. But, you know, you don't see the FedEx and the UPS drivers going 80 miles an hour. You know, those people, you know, I personally think are some of the safest drivers on the road. The blue truck that's out there delivering packages is not as safe. But you're not going to see them. And everybody accepts that it's okay for them to go the speed limit and traffic goes around them. Let the traffic go around you.
Right.
You don't have to go fast.
Don't be.
But I always say you can't do it at excessive speed. It'll be held against you and your driver history profile will go up and all this stuff. I never drive 75 miles an hour. If I tell them they can't, I don't do it.
Right.
Even if the speed limit is 70, I set my cruise at 74. I stay in the slow lanes. I wait until it's safe to pass. And then I pass slow traffic at 74.
Right. And Listen, so I brought up quarter of a second. Literally, as I said, blink of an eye stuff. But what people don't understand is that in the blink of an eye, what occurs in a quarter of a second, it's over for that. Maybe it's over for that person. They're done. You know, they didn't survive. But the people left behind in their entire lifetime, they never get over it. So what occurs in the blink of an eye, for the people left behind, they never get over it in the rest of their lives. And yeah. I've seen it happen in my own family. And it's a shame, man. It's just tragic.
Well, and if you're a fleet driver and it happens to you, your family will be impacted for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
But if you're the fleet driver and you're the cause of somebody else getting seriously injured or killed in a crash,
they're gonna deal with that.
And you have to live with that for the rest of your life, that would be very difficult to do.
Yep.
And, you know, that's a lifelong, sentence right there.
So,
we just don't want it to happen. This is what we're trying to avoid.
Right.
I'm glad that they have a whole month for distracted driving. I'm glad that there's attention to it, but I've been talking about distracted driving at every fleet that I've managed and the numbers aren't coming down. We need to do more.
Yeah, well, there's so many distractions in our vehicles nowadays. I mean, it's not just our cell phones, but our infotainment systems. My goodness, you've heard me say this before, but you have to have a degree in electronics to be able to change the heat setting in your vehicle or change the radio station. It's ridiculous what you have to go through nowadays. Listen, give me a knob. Okay, again, I'm showing my age here, Bob, but come on, man. It just you used to be able to reach down and just make an adjustment on something and not even have to look. Now you have to look and do like five different things just to change a radio station or your temperature. How is that not equivalent to texting? Which, if you're doing any of that alphanumeric stuff, you're 23 times. Every study has been done 23 times more likely to be involved in a crash if you're doing any of that alphanumeric garbage. Well, if you're having to deal with those infotainment systems, how is that different than using your phone and texting?
I rented a car recently for a business trip, and the car is pretty cool. I was like, oh, this is actually a nice car. I'm glad I got a chance to drive this. Maybe one day, you know, this could be an option. I sat in the rental car garage for 30 minutes just trying to figure out how to use the gosh darn radio. And I was trying to hook my phone up for Bluetooth for maps because I didn't know where I was. I could not figure it out. It should be easier than this. And I kept touching the screen. It wasn't a touch screen. You actually had to look down and use this circular knob, not a knob on the dash, and use it as a mouse to go through each individual section on the screen. And you had to, you know, tap it to the right to get over to another area, tap it to the right again to get further over. Doing this while driving? I'd rather touch the screen at that point. I got to navigate, you know, where I'm, you know, navigating the mouse, if you will, on that screen. It was, you know, I was like, I'm not buying this car. This car is dangerous.
What are the engineers thinking? You have your passenger doing that. Well, what if you don't have a passenger? Right. And what you just said, that you spend a half an hour. Bob, I'll tell you, anytime I get into a rental vehicle, I familiarize myself with it. I set my settings, and then I try not to touch them while I'm driving because, again, it's a distraction. I don't know.
Well, I do the same, but this one just took 30 minutes because I just couldn't figure it out.
I've had the same situation,
There's no, I'm kind of a geeky guy. I know tech. I can figure that crap out usually, but this one was, this is stupid. I couldn't figure out how to use the heat and the fan.
Bob,
like, you know what I mean? Why are you hiding this from me?
I am tech challenged, as you know, right? You've had to walk me through numerous things just to be able to get on this podcast, right? People, seriously, Bob is very patient with me because I'm like old. My first car was a 66 Mustang that had two knobs on the radio. That was it.
You probably just had AM, FM. My first car had two knobs on the radio.
I didn't even have FM.
That's awesome. Well, my first car had AM, FM, two knobs, and an 8-track.
With the 8-track, I put an 8-track into my Mustang then, but then I had to bring the book of matches to put underneath the 8-track to keep it from like playing weird. They called it warbling.
That's awesome.
The younger people are going like, what the hell are they talking about?
What's an 8-track?
What's an 8-track? Look it up. Go to the Smithsonian, they might have one.
No, exactly. All right. Well, we're approaching some time here. It's always a good discussion. I get really frustrated, you know, that we constantly are talking about this. Everybody in the fleet industry is talking about it. Everybody in the regular transportation industry is talking about it. And we're not making a difference on the number of fatalities on our roads. And that's, frustrating to me. This is, some personal accountability has to come into play.
Right.
And if the phone or some sort of electronic device in your vehicle, the infotainment system, is causing any kind of distraction, stop. Right. You can't do it. It's been proved time and again that it's impossible to do. Just don't let yourself do that.
Yeah, and you're right. It is an individual decision, right? And what I always tell people is that you have to make the safety decision multiple times while you're driving, right? You can say, well, I'm going to be a safe driver, but what happens next time you're feeling hungry? What happens next time you find your mind wandering? What happens the next time you're feeling tired? What happens the next time your phone rings? Are you going to risk it, or are you going to make the safety decision? The problem with risking it, Bob, is you get away with it, so then you do it again. And you do it again and again and again until you don't get away with it anymore.
Yeah.
And then it's tragedy. And it happens every day. I guarantee you, Bob, just since we've been talking, there have been numerous, numerous people who've been distracted, had severe collisions just in the time that we started this podcast.
Definitely.
When you think about that and how many lives are affected just in the time that we started this podcast, how many lives will be affected for decades to come? And it's so stinking preventable. It's that people have to make the right decisions. But if you're a manager who, a person who manages people who drive for your organizations, grab it by the horns. Take the responsibility. Get your drivers on board with safety and being responsible behind the wheel, paying attention.
Yeah.
That's what you have to do. I mean, we have to keep just beating this drum, man.
So you said it's a safety decision. You know, a personal decision for somebody behind the wheel to pick up a phone and answer a call or check a text. Fine. It's a personal safety decision. It's a selfish one.
It is.
Because once you do that and you impact someone's life for the rest of their life or their family being impacted by it, that's a selfish decision. And we need to stop.
It's so, grotesque.
Yeah,
it's a grotesque decision. It's well, you've heard me say this before too. Is I just wish people, you know, when I was on call for fatals and everything, I wish I could get some people just to come out to the crash scene, see it, smell it, and hear it. It will change the way you drive. It changed me, Bob. Yeah. You know, full disclosure, and I've said this to you before, I shouldn't be alive. The stupid things I did behind the wheel when I was young, and I got away with it. I think my dad taught me enough that it kept me alive. But I got on the police department and started going to crash scenes, and man, it changed me. Boy, I just did a complete turnaround on it, and now I'm geeking out here with you about safety, driver safety. It's it's just, man, people don't get it. It's happened so fast, and then their lives are forever changed.
Yeah. You know, I'm not a police officer, but, you know, I worked for the sheriff's office in Michigan as a civilian. But I dealt with the towing, and I went to the impound lots a lot of times. And I saw a car, I think I've said it on here before, but, you know, three young girls died in this crash, probably on their phone, unfortunately. But I just kept staring at that mangled heap of metal with blood on the inside of the car and just. It's eye opening. So you're right. You know, go to a scene of a crash, see it, smell it, and it will change you. It changed me. I was already kind of a fleet safety geek before then, but it was sobering to just look at, you know, that wreck and how those girls died in that car.
Yeah.
So happens all the time. Every single day it's happening, and we got to stop it.
Yep. Absolutely.
Well, on that note, I'm gonna go take some uppers and get myself in a better mood.
Well, it's baseball season now, so go Phils, go Guardians.
It's also Final Four.
It's Final Four. That's right. It's Final Four.
I have a chance to win my bracket. So,
dude, are you kidding
go
me?
Go
really?
Duke and Florida, but Duke overall.
Yeah, I'm rooting for Duke. Cool.
There you go.
Yeah. Cool.
Right. Yeah, that I don't even know. I didn't watch basketball all this year.
I haven't watched any. I've been so darn busy. I mean,
I've been too busy too. Yeah. But I have a chance to win it all. But I'm going to say the guy's name,
luck, man.
Connor or Cooper Flagg or something like that.
So you get a little cash in for this thing?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
All right. Well, then you take me dinner.
Well, if you're in next week,
I'll
can do
tell
that.
You what. I'll wear my nice outfit.
You're going to wear your Eagles jersey?
Well, that's my nicest outfit, so yes.
Well, yeah. You wear that to church on Sundays.
Why not? I mean, I was doing a lot of praying during the Eagle season.
Yeah, seriously, if you're in town, definitely let's do dinner. So.
Yep.
Yeah, let me know.
All right.
Phil, thank you as always. It's always a great conversation with you. I really enjoy these. Thanks for your insight. I'm really looking forward to doing a Fleet Safety Geek session at NAFA INE. Yeah, so if anybody's listening, is going to NAFA.
Booth, yeah.
And we're going to podcast, do three podcasts there with somebody right at the NAFA booth. So feel free to stop by, say hi.
Yep, I'm looking forward to, as you said, the session I will be doing at the NAFA INE. That should be good. Again, just keep creating the awareness, right? So.
Yep, exactly.
Right, pal.
All right, man. Have a good rest of your weekend, and congratulations on your year at Davie and all the success you've had.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it. You know, I was there, and they were having some crashes, and they've reduced that. I think you're a big part of that, and that's something that's very valuable. So appreciate that you're doing there.
Thank you, buddy.
All right, we'll talk soon.
Take care, Bob.
Yep. All right, you too.